Hello, fellow Rebel Capitals. Hope you're well. So I have got a huge story from CNBC about what McDonald's is saying about not just the U.S. economy, but the U.S. consumer. It's what we were talking about yesterday on the video about the 29% of people that are just barely above the poverty line. And if the purchasing power of the United States in aggregate total is going down, well, do we really need to have unemployment creeping up in order for there to be a recession? But let's get right into this article from CNBC. We've got something really cool from Zero Hedge. Then the Conference Board. You guys probably recognize that group from a lot of the videos I did about 2 or 3 months ago. They're chiming in with their most recent consumer confidence poll, which really dovetails perfectly on what McDonald's is saying. But let's get right into this. The title McDonald's, and it's not just McDonald's, like it says here, and other big brands warn that low-income consumers are starting to crack. Executives at some of America's largest companies have said that consumers feel the pinch of higher prices. Their remarks come as sticky inflation poses a challenge for Main Street, Wall Street, and the Federal Reserve. Okay, so the first key talking point makes a lot of sense. The second one, once you think about what they're saying at the Fed, it's just total BS, PR, spin, just the normal stuff that you would expect from the Federal Reserve and just trying to manipulate the overall psychological narrative that you're hearing within the mainstream media to get you to believe what they want you to believe. And more on that in just a moment. First thing we highlighted, it is clear that broad-based consumer pressures persist around the world. Key there, around the world, not just in the United States. This is something that, according to CEO Chris Kempczinski, that's a tough one. I guess he's the CEO of McDonald's, said this on a conference call, the earnings call, and this was as of Tuesday today. Consumers continue to be even more discriminating with every single dollar that they spend. That's CEO political correctness speak for saying that the people who come to McDonald's are just flat out broke and they're at their breaking point. And they spend as they faced elevated prices in their day-to-day. Okay, so they're discriminating on every single dollar they spend as they face elevated prices. So it's not just the elevated prices. It's the fact that the elevated prices have increased to such a dramatic degree relative to their wages. And this is the key. And you combine this with higher oil prices and then higher inputs for the businesses, and you kind of scratch your head and say, well, wait a minute, how do we get this price wage spiral thing when the businesses aren't able to pay their employees enough to keep up with inflation, and therefore their top line revenue isn't really keeping up with inflation? What I'm saying there is the corporations' margins are getting squeezed at all to a certain point, but the profit margins of the corporations can only get squeezed to a certain level to where they have to start laying off workers. And then you get a large portion of the United States, not the majority, but a large portion of the United States that is making zero money, let alone it's not that their wages aren't going up at the rate of inflation, but they get the pink slip, is what I'm trying to say. So this is how things work if you don't have the 1970s type of monetary inflation as well. And we've gone over that chart several times in the last couple of weeks. If you look at the money supply in the 1970s, as you would expect, it was like this. The money supply over the last 2 years, like this. So what that means is you have this temporary burst in inflation, and you do have inflation remaining, quote unquote, sticky, let's say. But at a certain point, the consumer's tapped out. They can't spend anymore because their wages just aren't going up. And therefore, the corporations make less, their margins get squeezed, even if they are able to pay their employees a little bit more, and then they have to start laying people off. This is just kind of the cycle that you see. And there's nothing that will get you out of that cycle other than a basically a deflationary bust, a recession to clean everything out, or a 1970s type of inflation. But to get that, you would have to have the banks start playing ball. And you can tell with the banking crisis, the likelihood of them playing ball is extremely low. Getting back to the article, sticky inflation has created a dark cloud over how everyday Americans perceive the health of the economy. And again, I want to point out that this is CNBC talking. These are the CEOs. This isn't just George Gammon's opinion of the economy. Don't shoot the messenger here. Consumer confidence in April hits its lowest level since mid-2022. And that goes back to this conference board survey that we're going to take a look at in just a moment. And what's fascinating about this conference board survey that we're going to look at is it breaks down what most Americans are going to spend less on moving forward. So they say that inflation has come down, but it's still, quote unquote, sticky at 3.5%. in mid-2022, but remains above the 2% goal set by the Fed. And here is where you start to see the complete BS spin by the Federal Reserve. First of all, how did they get this 2% number to begin with? Josh, do you have any idea how the geniuses, the PhDs, the Federal Reserve, and all their wisdom and cleverness came up with that perfect, perfect, perfect number of 2% inflation?
It had to be some sort of complex math formula.
Well, you would think that it's got to be it's like AI algorithm, or it was just sent down by the heavens. You know, Moses brought it down on some stone tablets from Mount Sinai and said, here it is. Here's the magic number of utter perfection. It's not 3.14. It's 2% inflation. That actually goes all the way back. It's like 20, 30 years old, something like that, where the Bank of New Zealand, the central bank in New Zealand, they were tasked with lowering inflation because inflation was, let's just say, 8, 9, 10%, whatever it was at the time, their experience. And this might have even been the 1970s. And so they brought in a new central banker and they said, look, your only job is to get inflation down. And he said, okay, well, what should I get it down to? It's at 12% right now. What is my goal to so I can quantify whether or not I did a good job? And they said, oh, I don't know. It needs to be lower. So we've got something to sell the voters as to why the economy is getting better. And he's like, okay, how about 1%? And they said, that's way, way too low. No, it can't be 1%. There's no way we can get it down that low. And he said, okay, I don't know, how about 3%? And they go, it's kind of an odd number. We need an even number would sound better. Why don't we just split the difference and go at 2? And he's like, yeah, okay, that works. And then from New Zealand, it kind of caught on with the central bankers in Canada. And then it kind of went from there. And since that time, that's been the magic number. Someone just literally pulled it out of the sky. It's just totally random. And now modern day economics is totally built around this principle that economic nirvana is achieved when we have 2% consumer price inflation. But let me show you how absurd this is. And let me keep going to this next sentence, and then we'll go over to this calculator that shows you just the level of insanity we're dealing with, and that the mainstream media buys this nonsense. Like, why are we still paying attention to the Fed? Why? Why are we doing this? It's like I'm pounding my head against the wall every single day on these videos, just saying, they don't even matter. They're idiots. These people are buffoons. And we take it as though they're just these intellectual superior beings, right? And at the end of the day, they're just throwing darts, for heaven's sakes.
Hey guys, I want to invite each and every one of you to join me May 31st through June 2nd in Orlando for Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the annual conference I do. And this year, it's going to be absolutely incredible. We're going to have some of your favorites there as speakers. Guys like Jeff Snyder, Mike Green, Real Estate, Kenny McElroy. We're going to have Robert Barnes. They're talking about freedom and liberty. Even Rich Cooper is going to be there discussing red pill issues. This event is all about giving you the intel, the insider information you need to not only survive 2024, but thrive. The whole reason I created this event was to give you the tools you need to build the future you deserve for yourself and your family. This is an event you are not going to want to miss. So to get more information, go to rebelcapitalistlive.com. You can see a full list of speakers we've had in the past. You can see clips from past events. And most importantly, you can get your tickets. As we get closer to the event, the tickets go up in price. So you're going to want to get those ASAP at rebelcapitalistlive.com. And we will see you in Orlando, May 31st through June 2nd.
Getting back to this, they say, and the tenacious 3.5% annual growth is souring economic sentiment. So let's set this up the way CNBC is in the mainstream media. So 3.5%, and this is just utter disaster. I mean, the poor and the middle class, they can't even afford a six-pack of chicken McNuggets at McDonald's. I mean, look at this. Yeah, what are we going to do? This is just, all the wheels are coming off here, and we're going to have social unrest, torches, pitchforks, you name it. It's going to be the French Revolution. They're going to start bringing out the guillotines and whatnot. But at 2%, well, this is when we are off to the races. And if we could just achieve the 2% over the last couple of years or the next couple of years, then, oh my gosh, then all of a sudden people are going to be dancing in the streets. It's rainbows. It's unicorns. It's all these things. All you have to do is trust us. It's all about 2%. Okay, well, let's go ahead and put that to the test once and for all. We're going to go over to one of my favorite little tools here, this compound interest calculator. And let's look at $100 and let's say 3.5%. So 3.5%. And we'll just say 3 years. So over 3 years, and you say, George, well, they want this over many years. No. No, they're just, look, if we would have gone from 9.1 straight down to 2, then all of a sudden, it's a 180-degree difference. That instead of doom and thunderclouds and the consumer is pinched, now all of a sudden, we would have nothing to complain about whatsoever because we've hit economic nirvana at 2%. So the delta there, the difference between heaven and hell is 1.5%. It's the difference between 2% inflation and 3.5. So at 3.5 over the last 3 years, prices have gone up by 10%, just using that as a constant, okay? Now let's go to 2%. So you would assume that at 3.5, the way they make it sound, that prices would have tripled or something like that. But at 2%, prices would be absolutely flat. So then we type in 2% and you get a whopping 1.6 or 6% compared with 10%. So you get a delta of 4% over 3 years, for heaven's sakes. So I'm not saying that the 3.5% is good. Absolutely not. The 2% isn't good. Why the hell do we want prices going up? This is total nonsense, right? What I'm saying is there's barely a difference over 3 to 4 years from 2 to 3.5. So whenever you hear in the mainstream media that 3.5 is just complete disaster, but 2% is economic nirvana, you know that they're just lying to you. They're just treating you like a fool. This is not any high-level math equation. This isn't any level of sophistication that you just can't get your head around. This is them just completely pulling a number out of their rear end and trying to sell you on it. All right, getting back to the article here. Like I said, it's not just McDonald's. It's also the executives at 3M the maker of Scotch tape. Well, they make basically everything. Post-it notes, that's just to name a few of the zillions and zillions and zillions of products they have. They told analysts that they see continued softness in consumer discretionary spending. And this goes back to pretty much every video we've done in the last 2 or 3 months. It's like if you've got the prices going up of the stuff you need, you're going to not spend in the stuff you want. It's robbing Peter to pay Paul. And it's the exact same thing with Newell Brands, which makes Coleman. I'm guessing that's camping stuff. And Rubbermaid products. And they're saying the same thing. The company issued soft guidance for current quarter earnings and said that revenue is likely to decline as a result in this weakness that all these other entities are seeing with the average Joe and Jane. They say the categories we compete in remain under pressure with consumers continue to carefully manage their discretionary spend as the cumulative impact of inflation on food, energy, housing costs has outpaced wage growth. Coca-Cola management has seen greater emphasis on value, saying purchasing power of lower income consumers has taken a hit. Let's go over to Zero Hedge. And this is from the Dallas Fed. This came out today. And it was the Dallas Fed survey. And which survey? This is Texas. Let me just zoom in here. This is Texas Service Sector Outlook General Business Activity. And what they're highlighting in this Zero Hedge article is we haven't seen this many consecutive months of decline since Lehman went bust. During the Cervasa sickness, we saw steeper declines, much, much steeper, but it was short-lived. And then it's not that this is an automatic recession, because you can see in 2011, 2016, we had something similar, but it was nowhere near as pronounced. Now let's get over to that conference board survey. And here it is, really some shocking statistics. They said over the next 6 months to save money, I will reduce spending on or eliminate. That was the main question that they're asking consumers. So again, over the next 6 months to save money, I will reduce spending on or eliminate food away from home. 44.8%. Clothing, fashion items, entertainment, vacation, alcohol, groceries. So we've got the first non-discretionary. So I'm assuming what they mean by groceries is for those who are eating at Whole Foods, they're like, nah, that ain't happening anymore. I'm going to go to Safeway. And for those that are eating at Safeway, they're saying, no, that's not happening anymore. I'm going to eat at Walmart. In fact, I read another story that just now that Walmart is coming out with their own like house brand. And this is to give the absolute lowest price possible to millennials, because they see that being a big driver of sales, moving forward in this type of economy. So driving their vehicle. So this is where the price of oil and gas gets so high that it's sucking up discretionary spending. But then at a certain point, the job opportunities aren't as good. And then you take that to the next level. And then the corporations, the job creators, the small, mid-sized businesses, et cetera, they start laying people off. And then all these things that have very inelastic demand, you see the demand start to roll over on those as well. And this is pretty much exactly what we can see here with this survey. Other discretionary items, major household items, at-home entertainment, tech, financial products. How are financial products non-discretionary? Huh. That's weird. Loans, insurance, credit cards? I guess insurance maybe, but anyway. Okay, getting back to this. And so the percentage of people that said they have no plans to reduce spending was only 18.5%. Again, this backs up exactly what we're seeing from these major corporations such as McDonald's, Coca-Cola, etc. It's that nominal wages have not kept up with consumer prices. This is pinching the consumer. And unless you see something dramatic change, you're most likely going to see this lead to disinflation, but more so a hard landing recession, a contraction of aggregate demand. I don't know how you get that ramp up in the next cycle of inflation or of nominal economic growth under these conditions. But we'll have to wait and see. Again, there are no certainties. There are only probabilities. On that note, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Make sure you are checking out Rebel Capitalist Live. You got to get your tickets ASAP. This is going to be an incredible event. I think this is going to be the best Rebel Capitalist Live that we have had. I just got a text from Mike Green. If you listen to Robert Barnes and what he's dealing with in Pennsylvania, that is scary, scary stuff. We did an interview there. He's going to bring more details and then how to set up a plan B. And based on what he's dealing with his own clients, the boots on the ground information, he's going to give that to you so you can make sure that you are setting up a wall, a shield around your personal freedom and liberty moving forward. So these crazy authoritarians that we're seeing all over the world right now are you, it makes you anti-fragile against the authoritarians, the central planners, and the crazies that we're dealing with all over. But check out the speaker list. You're going to love it. It's rebelcapitalistlive.com. You can get your tickets there. And we will see you on the next video.